broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
All right, welcome back to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-7445. Vernon Dozier is rejoining us. And you heard what I said, Vernon, that I don't want to hear a lot of nonsense here about, you know, me.
I understand, Phil. I understand.
You understand me?
Yes.
I can't hear you.
I understand.
I don't mean to lecture you, but the last time you were on here with me, you got upset with me when I told you that I thought your stunt with the dog crap.
I understand. I think I told you already that I understand.
Okay. So let's talk about the NFL referees.
All right. That's why I wanted to come on the program. And by the way, I just want to say I heard what you were saying to the young man there, Neil, because we have Phil TV. And
I appreciate that.
Yeah. See, I spend, even though you're right, it's a good price, $9.95 a month. We get Phil TV, all the archive that we'd ever want to have of your show. But you see, I am a customer. And so in a lot of ways, I have a right to say to you that you shouldn't, I use this. Well.
All right. Okay. You are a customer.
Yeah.
You are a subscriber.
Yeah.
Okay. So what did you want to say?
I can talk about the Winningham slingshot.
Go ahead.
All right. All I'm saying is I got a handful of dog, you know what, put it in that slingshot, and I hit that guy on the fly from a distance of 75 yards with a dog dropping, which was, at that time, it had been out in the sun, so it was dried out, and it was pretty. I don't know if you know much about dog do.
No, I haven't made a study of it.
Well, what's that supposed to mean? Like I have?
No, I don't. Listen, can we just get through this?
All right. So in any event, it doesn't have a lot of weight, so you've got to aim it. And I hit this guy in the mouth just as he was saying hi. You know, you can imagine the shape of a guy. And
well, what was he saying hi?
He was flying into the stadium and he was introducing himself. I think it was a Colonel. What was this guy's name anyway? Do you remember ever? Richard Rourke from Vandenberg Air Force Base. He's flying in this jetpack. Now, he says, and he swings it around, and as he swung it around toward our bench, he said, hi. He was going to say, hi, I'm Colonel Richard Rourke. And as he swung it, excuse me, my throat's killing me. Can I get another beer? No, I don't think I've had enough. No, I don't. I want another beer.
Who's that?
My father-in-law. Come on, Jeff. You know, don't break my castanets this early, okay? It's not even 12:30. So I said to, here comes this guy, turns around, says, hi, I'm Richard Rourke. Well, I knew it was now or never, because I knew this guy in his jetpack thought that he was something real special. So he was going to say hi to the crowd. And sure enough, there was hi, you know, so the mouth was ah, like that. Now, when the mouth gets to that width, you let it go. Bang. Because I knew he was going to go, hi.
Well, he's got to keep his mouth open for a long time.
Yeah, but these ego cases, that's what they do. I knew he had a big, fat ego, and he was going to go, hey, like he was something out of this world. And, yeah, he looked like he was something out of this world, zipping around in a jetpack. I said to Amber, she was getting all excited. And I know because I know, believe me, I can tell. A man can tell by the top you were wearing that day. And I won't say any more about it than that, but... You know, there is something to be said about wearing a bra, honey. And
okay, fine. Move on.
All right, I'm sorry. So anyway, he goes, ha, and just as he went, ha, bang, the dog turd went, bang. I mean, it went in and lodged. And that's when the jetpack hit the ground, and that's when all hell broke loose. But I was, you know, I was very proud of that.
Okay. All right, so we've heard your story, and I don't want to hear any more about it.
Yeah, fine, great. I have to check my wife. Okay, are you wearing a bra? No, she's not wearing a bra. I want to tell you, if I see her...
Okay, come on, what is this anyway?
Well, never mind. All right, Phil, so what happened here, as we were saying, the NFL referees were locked out after reaching a deadlock in their negotiation with the National Football League, but the NFL and its referees... Reached a deal on Wednesday night to end a three-month lockout and return its officials to the playing field. Not that. I want the other kind. I want... I don't want that light crap. Tastes like chilled pot liquor. Give me that Miller High Life. I'd want some Miller High Life. Hold on, Phil. Do you mind?
Yes, I do mind.
Yeah, what is light beer? It tastes like chilled pot liquor. All right. The NFL said in a statement that the league and the NFL Referees Association worked out an 8-year collective bargaining agreement. According to Roger Goodell, our officials will be back on the field starting on Thursday night. We appreciate the commitment of the NFLRA in working through the issues to reach this important agreement. Now, right there, if I ran the referees union, I'd send them back out on strike just because of that. But I don't think they're very well run.
Why would you do that?
I'm sorry?
Why would you do that?
Because of what Goodell said there.
What Goodell said there was, we appreciate the commitment of the NFLRA in working through the issues to reach this important agreement.
Yeah, that's a bald-faced lie. He didn't appreciate anything. You know full well, Phil. Come on, Phil. Use your head. Come on. Come on, Phil. Use the brain that God gave you for something other than thinking up new ways to look in bedroom windows. And I'm just kidding around with that, okay? Just take it easy, all right? Now,
well, I don't find that funny at all.
All right, all right. Come off here. Now, listen. Just get off the high horse for a minute, Phil. Think about it, will you? Roger Goodell is lying. He doesn't appreciate anything about the NFLRA. You should know that. That's what you talk about all the time. These guys in the suits, the only thing they want to do is squeeze the last nickel out of somebody, leave the guy to die while they go home, and empty their pockets on the floor for their children to go and play with all of the things they've stolen from some guy that they left bleeding in the dirt. That's Roger Goodell. He represents every guy that wears a suit and tie.
Oh, boy. Hey, you really kind of, you know, I mean, I'm not even much of a, I don't even paint with that broad a brush, for God's sake.
Well, what do you call that?
Well, I mean, maybe he is appreciating. I mean, these were negotiations that obviously must have had people on edge because the games have been an abortion, you know.
Yeah, absolutely they've been an abortion. The games have been absolutely mishandled and misofficiated, if there's such a word. I mean, they've been badly officiated from the beginning. And for the referees to fold for, I don't know how much money they got, but you know as well as I do that whatever they agreed to with the National Football League, they got screwed. They got screwed. And Goodell and those cheap bums that run those teams, you know full well that they stuck a gun into the ribs, the collective ribs of the National Football League Referees Association, and held them up for a lot more money than they should have, and I don't think they got a good deal at all. So the minute that Goodell started in with the patronizing and started saying, oh, we appreciate the this and the that, I would have said to them, okay, that's right there, you just blew it. We're walking out again. Okay.
All right. Well, then that probably would have been a public relations disaster from a couple of. First of all, you would have handed the National Football League a PR, a press release that would write itself. Referees turn around and walk out because their feelings get hurt by a statement that Goodell made.
I don't care. What difference does it make?
Well, I mean, again, you're going to have your. The fans have pretty much been on the side of the referees. The players have been on the side of the referees. I mean, I don't think anybody. I haven't talked to anybody that was against the referees going. I don't think we've ever heard of the referees going out on strike. We know that they get some ungodly, ridiculous, stupid amount of money. As far as I'm concerned, you're right. If they settled for anything less, and I know they did, but in my opinion, if they settled for anything less than 10 grand a game.
That's exactly what I thought they should get, and you know they did.
All right, well, then I think they've settled for too little money. But, I mean, they're back. They're obviously happy. These guys have other jobs.
Oh, they've got other jobs. Why don't you tell the National Football League Players Association the same thing? Why don't you guys go get other jobs? You know, why don't you tell the owners that?
No, look, I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree. But the culture of football, professional football especially, has these referees thinking that they are getting paid plenty, that their other jobs as insurance company executives or school teachers or whatever the hell else they do is fine. And these guys are sort of locked in that mentality. Now, I know that they have a pension, which is, you know, pretty good. They've got retirement. They have benefits. They have health care. This is all worth money. I think the money they make per game is dog crap.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say, Phil.
But how do you turn? You can't. I don't see how once you've agreed to something, you tell them, uh-oh, wait a second, what did you just say? Oh, now we're going back out on strike.
What about that? Don't you understand?
I think that once you've given your word as a gentleman and once you've signed your name to an agreement,
Wait a second. People tear up agreements all the time. And when Goodell started in with this patronizing, after giving them the hosing of a lifetime, and I don't hear the fans standing up and saying anything, you know, everybody's in it for themselves. Fans don't care about players. They don't care about referees. They don't care about, they don't even care about other fans. They care about, number one, they care about their ass sitting in their seat. That's what they care about. All right, so forget about that. Forget about the owners. I'm speaking here for the referees, and I'm saying that you guys, wherever you are tonight, if you're listening to me, you took one deep, and it was twisted, and then turned up left, and got some blood. And
oh, God, man.
Well, I'm trying. What?
Okay, I get it, man. I mean, the...
God, that'd be painful.
You better believe it's painful. You better believe it's painful. To have it stuck in and then...
Okay, we get it, man.
That's what happened in the National Football League. They took... Hold on, Phil. They took a square piece of board, and it was... Well, you get my idea.
Yeah, I get your idea. It was a painful thing that happened to them.
Not only painful, but they're going to be dabbing... I mean, well...
Just take it easy, okay?
I mean... There's going to be red on the toilet paper.
Okay, fine. Thank you, Vernon, very much for your reading of that. So the NFL players, the referees got screwed.
Yeah, they took it up left.
I got it already. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our news and information hour.
Woo!
Baby. Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah!
Shut up, man.
Yeah!
World famous Phil Hendry Show.
I did this song at Frank's 70th birthday party, so I'm very, very familiar with the song.
All right, Margaret's going to sing I Don't Know by Ozzy Osbourne.
Yes, this is from, I believe it's from the, is it from the Blizzard of Oz? This is from Blizzard of Oz. This is I Don't Know by Ozzy Osbourne. Here we go. People look to me and say, is the end near? When's the final day? Whee! What's the future of mankind? How do I know I got left behind?
Quit singing it, man!
Wait, hold on, hold the phone, Phil, hold the phone, bud, hold the phone, hold on. What did you say?
Said to quit singing it, bad. Ow!
Now next time, I'll drop you in a hole in the ground.
Margaret, watch it.
Don't.
Come on now, hold on.
Get your hands off of me.
Come on, Margaret.
Get your hands off of me. I'll drop him and I'll drop you down a hole.
You're gonna hit me.
You think that's bad? The next time you say anything about, no one talks when I sing. Do you understand?
Yeah, I didn't mean to do nothing. Shut up, bud.
I swear to God, Phil, he opens his mouth the next time, and they'll never find him. No one will find him, and I won't talk.
Yeah, I...
Get your hands off of me, please.
All right, are you sure you're not going to go after him?
Yes, I'm sure. You remember what I said.
I haven't said anything bad. All I said was sing better.
Boy, you really want a piece?
Oh, hey, hold on. Now, you know, Margaret, it ain't worth it, man. 12 years for killing an enlisted man. You'll be climbing the walls.
All right.
Okay, let's do this all over again. Bud, shut your mouth. You liked the way she sang the other night.
Yeah. I was just giving her a hard time. And my nose, is it broke?
Your nose looks fine. It could look a lot worse. A lot worse. I'm capable of much more. All right, go.
Here's Margaret with I Don't Know by Ozzy Osbourne.
I got my eye on you, Dickman. The hole's already dug. One button I push. Two and three. People look to me and say, is the end near? When's the final day? Woo! Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, man.
What's the future of mankind? How do I know I got left behind? How could you leave this behind, bud? Hey, Frank. Everyone goes through changes, looking to find the truth. Don't look to me for answers. Don't ask me. I don't know, no.
Have mercy!
Frank? Frank?
Yeah.
Are you recording this?
Yeah.
How am I supposed to know hidden meanings that we'll never show? Woo!
All them hidden meanings, man. Yeah.
Fools and prophets from the past. Life's a stage and we're all in the cast.
I need another cape.
I'll get your act together. You gotta believe in someone. Asking me who is right. Asking me who to follow. Don't ask me. I don't know. Alright, that's good. That's it. I don't want to blow my throat out. Alright, that's it.
Margaret Gray.
Sounds good, Margaret.
I don't want to blow my throat out, all right? And don't say it, Dickman.
That wasn't bad.
Then why didn't you say it in the first place?
I'm just giving you a hard time.
I don't believe it. I don't believe anything you say. The hole's already dug. The lime's already been put into it. One button I push.
All right. So anyway... Thank you very much. That's Margaret with I Don't Know By... Why were we doing that anyway?
I don't know. I just felt like doing it. You were playing it, I think, during the commercial break.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, so we had... Vernon Dozier gave us a little look at the whole the baloney having to do with the... I just wanted to say one thing about the referees, and that is the following... What?
Oh, and I wanted to give... I'm sorry, Phil. Can I?
Go ahead.
I wanted to give... And I've got this because I've gotten some emails on this. I got one from Karen, and I also had an email from Dusty. And they wanted this. And before I forget, I want to just give this.
Okay, what is this?
Well, this is my maple bourbon glazed pork loin. All right. Where's Frank? Frank, you there?
The maple, the glazed pork loin, I'll tell you what he does to a pork. You know.
All right, go to bed, Frank.
All right.
So,
all right.
Here it is. You take a package of boneless pork loin, 6 ounces of Vermont maple syrup, 2 ounces of honey, 4 pounds of whole grain, no, four, no, four, I'm sorry, 4 tablespoons of whole grain mustard, 4 ounces of George Dickel Tennessee Whiskey No. 12, you marinate the pork in the ingredients for 24 hours.
Yeah, and then you urinate into it.
And, well, you lousy stink.
Please don't. Get him. Ow. Ow.
There, you happy?
No, I'm not happy.
What? That hurt.
Did it now.
Man, you beat the crap out of him.
Come on, get up. Get up!
You've hit me.
Come on, get up. I didn't hurt you that bad. Get him out of here. Let that be a lesson to you.
What do you want me to take him?
Just throw him outside. Throw some water on him.
Wow.
That's exactly right. Are we going to a break?
We have to go to a break, yeah.
Well, maybe that's a good thing.
All right, we'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Wow.
Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And we got another story because Neil was just telling me about that.
About the world's favorite beer.
You okay?
Yeah, but she kidney punched me.
I didn't kidney punch you. I kicked you in the ribs, and I kicked you a couple of times in the gut.
You can cause a guy to hemorrhage internally that way, Margaret.
Oh, can you? Well, maybe he needs to think about that the next time he opens his big fat yap while I sing. No one does that. No one.
All I'm trying to do is have some fun.
Yeah, well, did you have fun?
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
Man, you kicked him right in the gut, man. I mean, a couple of good shots.
That's right. You got something to say about it?
No.
Jeez, Margaret, I can't have you in here threatening people.
Then tell him to shut his pie hole while I'm singing.
Okay, look, what I want to find here is this story about this beer that Neil was talking about.
Well, did he tell you?
No.
Neil, this is Margaret. The what?
It's on the Huffington Post, Margaret.
It's on the Huffington Post, Phil, is what he just said.
I heard him.
All right.
All right, so this is the world's most favorite, most famous, or the world's most popular beer. And the reason why is because, offered this opinion, is because it's Chinese, and there's a whole bunch of Chinese people. Now, of course, I don't know where this is on the Huffington Post, and that would mean I'd have to look for it while I'm talking on the air. But nonetheless, it's a beer called Snowplow or Snow Pea. And the fact is, I can't find it on the Huffington Post while I'm doing the show. So telling me it's on the Huffington Post isn't good enough. You have to almost tell me where. Is it on the homepage or something?
I'll find it.
No, don't.
I'll find it.
It's what?
It's in the food.
Speak up.
It's in the food section.
It's in the food section.
Supposedly food.
All right. Okay, well, whatever. So it is a popular beer, and the reason why it's popular is because it's Chinese.
So what does that mean?
It means there's a lot of Chinese people.
All right.
There's a lot of Chinese. You know, you're the one that's throwing around the threats in here. There's a lot of Chinese people, and therefore there's a lot of people buying the beer, and therefore that's why it's popular. It doesn't necessarily mean it's any good.
Yeah, but you said a Chinese has got good beer.
The Chinese, let me tell you about the Chinese, okay, because I've been to China. Now, I haven't been to China in a long time, but when I was in China, and this was in the 80s, forgive me if I have any of our fine Chinese friends listening, but what I sampled of your products... tasted like, you know, speaking of dog turds, you know.
Well, what did you have?
Well, in those days I smoked, and the first thing I tried were Chinese cigarettes. You might as well be smoking camel crap. Number two.
What's that taste like?
It was lousy, okay? The cigarettes sucked. The next thing that I had, now their food was great. You know, we had these wonderful meals, terrific dinners, so the food was fantastic. But Chinese, who doesn't like Chinese food, okay?
Yeah, is it the same in China like it is here?
What do you mean, is it the same in China like it is here?
Well, you know, over in America. We got a lot of American Chinese.
Well, yeah, it's the same. For you mean we Americanized some of the Chinese dishes?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's the same. And it was very, very good. Very, very good. The other thing that I had over there was the soda pop. Like, they have a drink in China. They had a drink in China that was well, it was yellow, you know.
Okay, right there.
Oh, no, bud. Grow up. It was like a lemon pop. Very, very popular. Sold from these trucks, you know, these little hand carts in the street. And the Chinese love this stuff. And I didn't dig it. And then the other thing, but then the third thing I had that was, besides the food, the thing they had over there that was good, and I would say that it is highly competitive to European or the American product, and that is beer. Now, the reason, if you'll pardon me for squeaking that out, reason...
Yeah, that was what I think Harvey was saying. You sound a little effeminate when you do that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll try and lower it down.
Well, no, it's just when you go, the reason, you know.
Yeah, okay. The reason, how's that?
It's still a little effeminate.
The reason, how's that?
It's still just...
Come on, the reason is, in China, during the colonial period... And that would be the 19th century on into the early part of the 20th century when European powers decided that they just wanted to go over to China and park their ass and just do whatever they wanted to do with the acquiescence of a few well-paid bureaucrats in China. The Germans built a couple of breweries. And they were very good breweries. And they being German breweries, obviously they were there to produce the German product, the German beer that has become so world famous, the German lager, which is what we drink in America. Little, you know, I don't know if you guys know the history of American beer.
Oh, God, here we go.
You know what, Margaret? I haven't told this story on the air in a long time, so you're just going to have to sit through it.
I never heard it.
Yeah, me neither.
He goes on and on about the history.
I'll do it. I'm not going to go on, and I'm just going to say that in America, up until the 1820s and 30s, we drank tatties, we drank British ale. We had ale houses in America, and that's what we drank. And that was the popular drink, the popular alcoholic ale, I don't know what you would call it, grain beverage other than whiskeys or bourbons, was ale and tatties. These were English, and we had these public houses from which we... You know, would imbibe and socialize. That was the American tradition brought over from England until the arrival of the German immigrants in the 1830s and 1840s. And the Germans went to, as you might guess, a couple of places here in the United States. One of them, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And they, in fact, went to a place called Plank Road in Milwaukee, which today, I believe, still has... one or two of the breweries founded. And so the Germans came over with a kind of drink called a lager. It was a different way of making this beverage. The lager-style German beer is what became very, very popular here in the United States and has held sway ever since. That just absolutely trampled the tradition of ale and the stouts and the things that we drank early on. Now, today, you know, there's a few Americans, and, you know, it's always going to be a popular drink among some people, the stouts, the ales, the Guinnesses and that. People like that. Hey, man, give me one as a change of pace. But the fact of the matter is, in America, we drink lager beer. We drink a really watered-down kind of... I don't know how people can drink that light crap, I'm telling you.
What are you going to drink? You go off your diet.
I am not going to drink light beer. It ain't going to happen. Forget it. When I go off my diet, I go, you know, when I hit 210, which, by the way, folks, I didn't tell you, 221 pounds. Thank you very much, Rob.
That is very good.
Thank you. 221 pounds. I've got 11 pounds to go. 11. Do you remember when I started this? Do you guys remember way back in March? I was at 289 pounds. And I told you guys, and I kind of, I tiptoed into it, I remember, because I didn't want everybody to go, oh, here goes Phil with another diet. But I remember when I lost my first 5 pounds, I think I came on the air and I said, I'm on this diet, and I just lost 5 pounds. I'm at 284, and I think this is going to work, because I saw this really dramatic weight loss in the first week. Well, in any event, March 19th was when that was. So April, May, June, July, August, September. It's been 6 months and a week. 2 weeks, maybe let's call it 6 months. And, yeah. And what is 60, 68 pounds, right? Yeah.
Man, that's a lot of weight, dude.
That's a lot of weight. So when I'm finished, I will have 78, 79 pounds is what I will have dropped when all is said and done. However, when I go off the diet, when I hit 210, I'm going to be back to eating. Now, it doesn't mean I'm going to blimp out to 289. I'm going to have to do the following thing. Every day, or every, you know, every week or so, or every few days, you get on the scale. And if I start, you know, putting the weight back on to any degree, like, and by any degree, I mean, if I go from 210 up to 13 or 14, then I'm out running on the beach and sort of, you know, it's always going to be about balancing exercise with diet. And you're going to want to have some food. You're going to want to go out and blow it out. You're going to want to have a Thanksgiving dinner. You're going to want to have some dessert. You're going to want to have candy on Halloween. These are the things that make life fun. You know, you don't deny yourself those things. But you also have periods where you pull it back in, where you get back on a good diet, where you go out and you do some cardiovascular and you start burning stuff off.
And that's the way it is until the end of your life.
Until the end of my life. That's exactly what I'm going to do. And I am never again, as long as I'm alive on this planet, ever going to put that weight back on. Even forget about 289. I'm not even going to get up above 215 for any great length of time. It's never going to happen.
Yeah, well, 215, that's not bad.
No. You ain't going to, I'm not going to start thinking like that, man. No way. I'm not going to allow that into my thought. The range I give myself is 5 pounds either way. That's it.
Well, Phil, you're going to put on a lot more. If you have a Thanksgiving dinner...
I'm not going to put on 5 pounds. If I put any more than that after a Thanksgiving dinner, I can guarantee you this, man. I am dieting until I get it back down to 210 again or 211, 212. I'm not going to put that weight back on permanently. It isn't going to happen. That's the promise that I've made. That's the blood oath I've sworn to myself, and I'm going to uphold that for as long as I may live. All right. Some other news that we'll get to when we come back, because I just got sidetracked with a whole bunch of horse dung. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show here, and philhendryshow.com. And don't forget that sometime before the end of the week, we are Apple-compatible at philhendryshow.com, so on-demand video will be viewable on your iPhone, your iPad, all of that and more at philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So let me turn the fan off.
Yeah, I got the fan on.
I got the fan on because it's like a freaking sauna in here.
Well, why don't you invest in some air conditioning?
What?
Why don't you invest in some air conditioning?
Because I'm not putting central air in here for what amounts to like 2 months out of the year. You know, we're at the beach. We're down near the ocean here at the El Pacifico here on the California coast, folks. We're about, you know, 30 miles north of Los Angeles, and most of the time it is extremely temperate. We don't get snow, and we don't get blistering heat most of the time. But in our studio, because of all of our equipment, you know...
Well, how long are people going to... Phil, every year you talk about this.
No, I do not every year talk about this.
Yeah, do you? I start, oh, man... Oh, man, oh, man.
Yeah, I'll tell you, too. Oh, you, the three of you are nuts, okay?
Oh, so the three of us are nuts, even though every year we hear you talk about this.
Every year, a couple of times out of the year, I'll say it's hot in here. I'm not putting central air in for 2 months out of the year, so forget it. It's not going to happen.
What about one of them, like, swamp cooler?
Yeah, what about a swamp cooler?
A swamp cooler? Those things are look it, just listen to me. I'm not, you know, we can get a bigger fan, all right?
Yeah, a bigger fan going to make noise, man.
Well, if it makes noise, it makes noise. But the fact is that I haven't complained about the weather at all in this studio all year long until now, late September. Something happened, you know.
Yeah, it's called the sun. Oh, God.
Yeah.
You know, you guys will never get it, man. I mean, this is a very unusual, this is an unusual weather pattern we're having here. I mean, it's late September, early October, it cools off. It's warm, it's hot. What do you want me to tell you? Okay, thank you, and good night. I don't want to discuss it.
Yeah, well, you're very inflexible, Mr. Henry.
Oh, get a load of you, inflexible. Woo!
Well, it's not that big of a word.
Sounds big to me. All right. So, getting back to this diet, My friend Carell of KGO Radio in San Francisco, nice guy, Carell, and a terrific talent. Somebody just posted that he is, his doctor said he's got to lose 50 pounds. So, Carell, if you want the word on that, man, I can lay it on you. But it really gets down to just a real simple thing. It's 2,000 calories a day. That's it. I'm telling you, that's it. You cannot go over. If you go over, you got to get out and you have to exercise it off. If you go over and you don't have time to exercise that day, then you have to do it the next day. But you've got to get back to your 2,000 calories a day. And if it's not enough for you and you need more, then eat more. But remember, you got to get out and you have to do some form of exercise that burns you back to the 2,000 calories a day. So let's say you need another, you've had your 2,000 calories, you're still hungry. And that's a relative thing. I mean, that's a subjective and it's a highly seductive thing. So, oh, I'm really hungry. Well, if you want to talk yourself into that, that's fine, but you don't get any breaks on this. You can eat more, but you got to go out and you got to exercise more.
How do you know what? If you go 200 calories over, how do you know what exercise?
There's all kinds of apps and there's all kinds of books. There is all kinds of websites. There's one that I use that I have on my iPhone, and I have it in my bookmark, my bookmarks, I should say, and it's called Calories Burned Exercises. You can bookmark it, and it tells you all of these exercises that you can do and the number of minutes you got to do them and the calories that it burns up, okay?
And you feel very confident in those.
Absolutely. I've been using it for a year, man. I can get out and run on the beach for a certain amount of time. I can get out and walk on the beach for a certain amount of time and go out and walk on pavement, and I know exactly how many calories. And early on, I did that. Now I just keep myself within the 2,000-calorie limit. If you go over and you don't have time to exercise, then you're going to have to take it off of the next day's calories. If you say, oh, wow, I went to 2,200 and I don't have time to exercise, well, guess what? You get the next day, 1,800 calories.
Man, I don't know if people can do that.
I did it. What's so special about me? I did it. What do you mean you don't know if people can do it?
Well, you're not married. You don't have a family.
That's true, yeah. But that's me, see? I'm the kind of guy where I can get distracted easily, and people can completely pull me away from what I'm focusing on. So the fact that I'm not married, the fact that I don't have kids, is good for me while I'm on this diet. Some guys, some women, they're married, they have kids, and they can still do it, you know, because they have the kind of temperament. Now, if you don't have the kind of temperament, then, don't talk yourself out of it. If you want to lose the weight, this is it, man. This is it, Jack. You'll start knocking calories off 5 pounds a week in the first, I'm telling you right now, 20 pounds I did in the first month. I think in 2 months, I did like 35 pounds. In 3 months, I mean, you know, here it is 6 months later, 60-plus pounds. I think I've averaged somewhere in the neighborhood of 13 pounds a month. Now, that's pretty damn good, and I don't think you can expect more. You could probably get more, you know, if you went out and that was me just doing the calorie thing.
Yeah, you were, like, doing any exercise every day?
No, I was not exercising. I only applied exercise when I needed to get the calories down. But if you, for instance, want to do 2,000 calories a day and you want to do a daily exercise, that's far out. Do it, man, because number one, you'll be able to eat more because you're going to burn more calories. But also the metabolism is going to speed up and your weight loss is going to increase. You're going to lose the weight faster, okay?
Why didn't you do that?
Because, first of all, man, you know, I'm only doing what I can do. I work late. Dude, by the time I drag my ass out of bed at 1:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'm like, you know, I can barely focus. The last thing I got on my mind is, oh, I better go out and hump it on the beach, man. You know, I want to get some coffee into me. I want to just kind of check out and see whether I'm alive or dead and what's up with the world and all this good stuff. By the time I'm conscious, man, it's like 5, 6 o'clock at night. You know, I'm fully into my whole thing of just watching what I'm eating. If I want to get out and exercise, I do it on the weekends, okay?
Yeah, like on last Saturday, you went out.
Last Saturday I went out, man, I was up and down the beach last Saturday. Okay, fine. But there's some people can do more, and I would hardly recommend that. If you like to exercise, I mean, I don't know anybody that's a fat ass that likes exercise, and if you did, you wouldn't have 300 pounds of lard on your ass, right? I mean, well, what are you laughing at, Robert?
Yeah, Robert, you could stand, you know.
Excuse me, Ms. Gray, but
Don't you dare say anything about my ass.
Nobody said a word about your ass.
Just in case.
In any event, that's it. And that's where it's at. So I figure, you know, what do I got, 11 pounds, man? This is the end of September. Did I say I can still make my first week in October?
Man, I don't know. You said last time.
I know. But I can still do it. I can get damn close, man. By the end of the first week in October, I can do it.
Man, I'd like to see you do that, man, but that'd be a real hard one.
Maybe. Maybe. All right. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass and listen to and view all of the media, our video and our audio. We've got over 4,500 hours of full radio shows going back over a decade. The world-famous Phil Henry Show also has, of course, video on demand as well as our video archive. And don't miss the rolling out of Apple compatibility on our website within the next 2 days. So for those of you who are iPhone and iPad users, on demand, our video cast now will be available to you as well. The world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Neil. Neil's last name, I'm going to hide from you for... What? West. I know it's Neil West, but I didn't want to tell anybody in case you didn't want people banging on your door at 2 o'clock in the morning asking you for tips on how to do, books on tape. Anyway, Neil West and Phil Henry, until tomorrow, let that be a lesson to you. Woo!
Phil Henry.